Well, in breaking news this morning, the US President Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, has surrendered himself to the FBI, reportedly reaching a plea deal with prosecutors investigating him for alleged financial fraud. Several news outlets are reporting that Michael Cohen will plead guilty to at least one charge of bank and tax fraud. A plea bargain would increase the legal risk for Donald Trump, as it raises the possibility that Michael Cohen will cooperate with the special counsel Robert Mueller in his investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. This comes as the fraud trial of former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort enters fourth day of deliberations. David Weinstein is a lawyer with expertise in white-collar crime. He's also a former state and federal prosecutor. He joins us from Florida this morning. David Weinstein, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Well, good morning to you there. It's a pleasant afternoon over here.
As we speak, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is appearing in court. He's reached a plea deal with the prosecutors, reportedly. We won't know the charges until a little later. But can you just remind us why Michael Cohen is being investigated?
Well, he's being investigated for, amongst other things, campaign finance violations potentially that existed based on his relationship with the president, as well as taxes that he may or may not have reported and some transactions dealing with his taxi licenses in the state of New York.
This is breaking news, so details are a bit scarce, but I understand he's planning to plead guilty to at least one charge. I think it's the taxi charge. What do we know about the nature of this plea bargain? Does it necessarily mean the same thing as some kind of plea deal?
Well, they're two separate things. The most important question that we'll all need to have answered, and we won't know that answer until we see the actual plea agreement, is there any cooperation language in the plea agreement? You can either plead guilty to certain charges and accept the penalty for those charges, or you can, in addition to that, agree to cooperate with the government, assist them, and then hope that your sentence is reduced even further.
And we have no sign or no inkling of what this means for Michael Cohen, what he's planning.
Well, it would make more sense to think, based on some comments he's currently made, that he needs to look out for himself because nobody else is looking out for him, that his best route to reducing the amount of time he will spend in jail is to cooperate with the special prosecutor's investigation and provide additional information in the hopes that his sentence could get reduced like many others are doing in the exact same situation.
Okay, I'll come back to the additional information, but what kind of jail term would he be facing, do you think, if he doesn't do any deal?
If he doesn't do any deal, he's certainly looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 years, depending upon the amount of money he has alleged to be involved either in the campaign finance charge, if that's the charge, in the underreporting and some tax violations on the taxi license charge. It all depends on what his relevant conduct is, but he's looking at a decent amount of time in jail, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years.
Okay. Michael Cohen once said he would take a bullet for Trump, but as you indicated, their relationship has deteriorated since the FBI raided his office and home in April. So no one particularly expects Michael Cohen to take a bullet for the president now. As you said, he said, I've got to look after myself. No one else is looking after me. How dangerous is this for Donald Trump? Michael Cohen was not just Donald Trump's lawyer, he was also a lawyer for the Republican National Committee's, he was deputy finance chair for the Republican National Committee, and he was also a wider role with Donald Trump, effectively his fixer, wasn't he? What might he know that could endanger the president?
He has a lot of information about the president, both before he took office, while he was trying to take office, and certain dealings that he was involved in. If anyone is going to know where the bodies are buried, it's going to be his personal lawyer and his self-proclaimed fixer. The question becomes just how much of that information is he willing to release? How many bridges is he willing to burn? And is he simply going to make a deal, remain quiet, do his time, and then look for some sort of either pardon or some sort of other benefit down the road?
So the question then is, if he does talk, if he does exchange information, where is the danger in that for the US president? And it would seem that, I mean, we know that he's got more to tell about the hush money that he's admitted already, paying for adult film actress Stormy Daniels and how that links back to the president. So there's that side of things. But more dangerous for the president, presumably, is anything that would mean cooperation and providing information to Special Counsel Robert Mueller in his investigation into Russian meddling. Is there any indication that Michael Cohen might be of help to Robert Mueller in his investigation?
Well, Mueller's handed off this investigation to the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York. That doesn't mean that there isn't some information that is going to come from his cooperation that might then get funneled back to Mueller. He did that for a variety of reasons, including but not limited to he uncovered some information that wasn't directly connected to the Russia investigation. But if, in fact, the information that Cohen has is not isolated and does not pertain to hush money, which wouldn't involve collusion with the Russians, or is not related to campaign finance reform or violations there, then the value of his information is not necessarily tied into the Mueller investigation. So he could conceivably give information that harms the president in his role prior to becoming the president, but doesn't directly affect the investigation governing the Russian interference.
Could the two collide, though, if that information about the president's business dealings, say, before he was president or even a candidate, if, you know, he had information that the president had significant financial dealings or some kind of indebtedness with Russia?
Absolutely. They could absolutely collide, and one could show some sort of a pattern or practice and make it more likely that Mueller would be able to use that information to discredit some information that perhaps is coming forward from the president in terms of him not being involved in any prior activity.
Leaving aside the Mueller investigation, the Russians for a moment, going back to the hush money for Stormy Daniels and then that secret recording of Michael Cohen that he'd made talking to the president, discussing a payment to a former Playboy model, Karen McDougal's story. If Michael Cohen is charged on that front of violating campaign laws, would that have consequences for the president?
It certainly would if they could prove up the connection between the payments that were being made and distinguish them as not simply hush money, but rather money that was coming from campaign finances and was diverted and therefore in violation of campaign finance law.
So all this we don't know yet still, but we may know some of it very soon. How worried do you think Donald Trump would be right now?
I think he's got to be very worried right now. This is a person who was very close to him, who he now knows has recorded conversations that he's had, and certainly he has had conversations with him at a point where he believed that this person held his confidences, and it was someone he was going to tell all his secrets to. Well, now this person is in a position to reveal those secrets to an arm of the government that's investigating exactly what took place. So he has every reason to be very worried about what Cohen might or might not say.
It's 19 past six. Our guest is Miami lawyer David Weinstein, an expert in white-collar crime. Talking about being worried about people close to him, Paul Manafort, this all occurs with Michael Cohen as a jury is considering 18 charges against a former Trump campaign manager, Paul Manafort. This trial didn't look into allegations of Russian election interference, but it's being described too as an important test for the Russia probe led by Robert Mueller. Why is that? What's the connection here?
Well, this case has nothing to do, as you mentioned, with the Russia investigation or the probe. And certainly, if Manafort walks away from this not guilty on a majority of the counts, it's going to give a black eye to the same people who are conducting the investigation. The president has been saying that this was coming from that same investigation, and he will certainly find himself to be vindicated. On the other hand, it really doesn't have anything to do with the Russia investigation. It was information uncovered separate and apart from it. And if the prosecution team is able to achieve and get a conviction, it's certainly going to be incentive for Manafort now to consider perhaps saving his own neck and deciding whether he wants to come to the table and provide any information.
Well, deliberations have been dragging on now for 4 days. Overnight, the jury asked the judge what to do if the jurors were unable to reach a unanimous conclusion on any count, which suggests that they may be deadlocked. Throughout the trial, Donald Trump's been tweeting his support for Paul Manafort, praising him, saying what Robert Mueller's team is doing to him is very sad. Could the president's tweets be seen as trying to influence the jury? Is that improper, if not illegal?
Well, it's certainly seen as an effort to try and influence the jury. We have to take the jury at their word and trust them that they are not paying attention to any outside of the courtroom influences. That's how our system operates, and as a person who's part of that system, I have to trust jurors when they say they're not listening to things that take place outside the courtroom. If, on the other hand, they are listening to things that are taking place outside the courtroom, they're violating their oath, and certainly the president's efforts to influence a verdict in this case would be seen by many as pushing towards something that's improper.
Are his tweets being regarded broadly there in the United States as extraordinary, if not improper?
Absolutely so. We're in a new time, and the likes of which we haven't seen anything like this before. It's hard to imagine that George Washington and Jefferson and the rest of the founders would have any idea that somewhere in the future a president would be electronically putting his comments out to the entire nation about a process and a proceeding that's taking place in our judicial system.
David Weinstein, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Have a good morning.
Miami lawyer David Weinstein, an expert in white-collar crime and a former state and federal prosecutor.